Up next on the broadcast, a man who has been a broadcast partner in the past, been busy doing something else lately, the reason we have not had conversations with him. I'm talking about Ken Timmerman, and he's running for the United States Congress. I believe it's in the state of Maryland. He's an author, he's a journalist, he's a world traveler, and a very busy man right now. Ken, setting that aside now, let me talk to you about what I had a conversation with Bob McGinnis a moment ago, and then Dave Dolan, we touched base with David about how the effects of what took place in Moscow, the meeting between the P5 plus one and the Iranians, which was, of course, the nuclear summit, how it would affect Israel since there's seemingly no success coming out of what's happening there. I wanted to talk to you about this because you have a long time experience with the Iranians. You started covering them way back in 1979 when the Ayatollah first came in and the revolution, etc. It looks like to me they're continually doing their stall and delay action and really don't want to have any conclusion in these talks. Is that probably a good analysis?
Well, that's absolutely right. And they've been, look, they're past masters at this, Jimmy. The Bush administration, George W. Bush, gave them 3 years from 2003 until 2006. He said, okay, let the Europeans handle it. So he turned it over to the EU. At that time, they called it the EU3. So it was France, Germany, and Great Britain that were trying to find a solution to Iran's nuclear weapons development program at that time. After 3 years of fruitless negotiations, where the Iranians basically just bought time to get their centrifuges up and running and begin to enrich uranium, Europeans, they finally realized, well, look, this is a fruitless exercise. End of negotiations. Let's turn this over to the UN Security Council for political action by the UN, by the Security Council. That's what they did. Five UN Security Council resolutions later, President Barack Obama turns back the clock, gives up all of that progress that was made and the pressure put on Iran, and starts these fruitless negotiations again. Why am I not surprised that nothing has happened?
Well, do you see any breakthrough possibilities at all? I mean, should they continue to have these? They've held one there in Istanbul, Turkey, then one in Baghdad, Iraq, now Moscow. Should they go to another location?
No. I think negotiations are fruitless. I've said this repeatedly. Even on my campaign website, which is timmermanforcongress.com, you'll find a page on the issues under issues that talks about defeating Islamist Iran. And one of the things I believe absolutely we must not do is to continue these fruitless negotiations which embolden and empower the Islamist regime in Tehran and, in fact, help to enable them to become a nuclear weapon state.
Well, that's the negative. Now go with the positive. What would you do and how would you suggest to these world leaders they should be moving forward?
Well, I'm telling people here in Maryland where I'm running for Congress, if I'm elected, I will go to Speaker Boehner and ask to be appointed, for pretty good reason, to a significant position where I can influence policy towards Iran. I am in constant contact with the pro-freedom movement inside Iran. I'm aware of the negotiations that they're engaged in right now as we speak all across Europe with people who are coming and going from Iran to talk about setting up a new united opposition front. I think the United States should be backing the pro-freedom movement in Iran, not with military force, but with money, with technology, things like internet technology to help them to light up the darkness in the areas around Iran's periphery in Kurdistan, near Iraq, in Balochistan, near Pakistan, so they can no longer kill in the dark. I think this will make a huge difference to light up the darkness, and that's one of the things I will do.
Now, as it relates to Israel, when I was talking with David Dolan just a moment ago, basically, Iran is the number one enemy for the Jewish state. As I understand, they are continually preparing for a preemptive strike. Howbeit, there's not a whole lot of chatter coming out of the Israeli leadership right now. That's kind of been shut down, and that seemingly gave me a signal they may well be getting close to that preemptive attack. But that should still be on the table, would you not agree?
Yes, and good instinct of yours there, Jimmy. This is what I've always said as well. I think you and I have discussed this, too. When the Israelis go silent, watch out, because that's when they're actually preparing to do something. When they're talking about it publicly, when they're trying to get international support, then they're in political mode. When they go silent, then they go into military or intelligence mode.
And they should probably move ahead if these sanctions are not going to work.
I don't know what the Israelis are going to do, and I prefer to tell you that right up front. You know, those that know don't talk, and those that talk don't know.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just tell you that I can't. I don't know what they're going to do. And my guess, knowing some of the members of Netanyahu's inner circle, the last thing they want to do is to have to launch a military strike on Iran. But they've got lots of other options, and these are things that people tend to forget. Look at Stuxnet. Look at the Olympic torch. The Olympic Games set of computer viruses and malware that were introduced into Iran's nuclear infrastructure, into their oil ministry as well. There are lots of things that Israel and the United States can do short of and besides launching a military strike against Iran.
You know, you brought up something. I have just got to ask you this question. What about the leaks to the New York Times, the Washington Post, with some top secret information seemingly coming as high up maybe as the White House? What are your thoughts?
I don't know who actually leaked that information, but it would not surprise me in the least to see that it was a senior White House official at the, you know, very, very close to the top, somebody involved, for instance, in counterterrorism policy, or an intelligence policy, who leaked this information to make the president look good. And, you know, Andy McCarthy, who's a good friend of mine and is a former prosecutor in New York, has said repeatedly, the president can authorize these leaks. And if he authorizes the leaks, it's no longer classified information. In other words, he can essentially whitewash the leaker and make it legal. We shouldn't be worried about the actual leak itself. That will always happen from the White House. What we should be worried about is what classified resources were actually compromised, and are people's lives being put on the line because of those irresponsible leaks, which were carried out solely for political purposes to make the president look good.
Well, of course, a political action like this that could bring harm to a individual or individuals across the world is a very dangerous type of situation. But indeed, it does not put us in a strong position as it relates to trying to get Iran to get rid of or stop the development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction.
No, but I will say this, and it's not in defense of the leaks, but it's just to give you an idea, or give our listeners an idea of the way these things can impact on public opinion, and even on the opinion of decision makers in other countries. Once the information about Olympic Games, the suite of computer viruses that really did have an impact on Iran's nuclear infrastructures, once that information leaked, all of a sudden, I think people began to realize what you and I have been talking about for some time, that there are other options to military strikes. Military action is not the only way of slowing down Iran's nuclear program. There are other things, other tools in the toolbox.
Yeah, and all of these ought to be on the table as options for action, whichever one needs to be used.
Well, and clearly cyber warfare is on the table because it has been used, at least if we are to believe these accounts from the New York Times, which appear to be authorized leaks from the president, that is on the table, and it has already been used, and it has been effective.
Ken Timmerman, he is running for United States Congress, and for sure be sure to pray for Ken Timmerman in his efforts. That's number one. Number two, he's a man very knowledgeable, an author. He has written several books. He's a world traveler. He's a journalist, and we so appreciate him being a broadcast partner with us. I know, Ken, to take a few moments out of your busy schedule is something that I'm so grateful for. So thank you, my good friend. Journey's mercies as you travel across your district, and we'll talk again soon.
Well, Jimmy, thank you so much. God bless. And, you know, I love doing this show. I think you've got one of the best shows on the airwaves, so thank you.